The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Bible Study on KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us this morning. You know, we spend quite a bit of time when we put the programs together here on KFUO at different news sites. You know, we go exploring for what's going on in the church, what's going on in the world. Now, with a Christian worldview, everything comes into play. And I found this news story, and I thought this was interesting. And, well, I don't know why this struck me today, but it just, when you look at the world, you know, the world that doesn't recognize Christ, maybe it's because things like this are going on. This is a headline from Yahoo News. Man with dead weasel accused of assault. Now, if that won't get your attention right off the bat, I don't know what will. Hickam, Washington. Police say a man was carrying a dead weasel when he burst into an apartment and assaulted a man in Washington State. The victim asked a very logical question. Why are you carrying a weasel? I read these things and I go, what is the world coming to? Our guest pastor today on the Bible Study is Pastor Randy Wilkin, Acts 1-8 Mission Society, also St. Peter's Lutheran Church, The Rock, over at King's Highway.
Yep.
And down in the city of St. Louis. How you doing?
I am doing warm.
You're doing warm?
Yes.
Would you like it a little warmer?
It will get there.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And our air conditioners broke last week when we turned it on. Didn't work, and been hot at the Rock ever since.
You know, when you look at the world, you don't need to look to the Middle East. You don't need to look, you know, to places where there are wars going. All you have to do is look at Hickam, Washington, okay? And a guy carrying a dead weasel assaulting another man. Police say the attacker answered, "It's not a weasel, it's a marten." Now, you would think the first question you would ask if a man is beating you with a dead weasel or marten is, why are you beating me with a dead weasel or marten? But no, these are very technically proficient people being assaulted, I guess, in Washington State. Ultimately, the guy was looking for his girlfriend, and this was her former boyfriend's house. What is the world coming to? As we look at this world, you know, there's in our text today, in the second half of the chapter of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, there's a question raised about why don't you want the world to see you? Can you blame Jesus for not wanting the world to see him when there are people like this out there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
let's begin with prayer.
Yes. Oh, you want me to pray?
You're the professional.
Oh, man, I get to, okay, professionally pray here. All right.
Make it effective.
I will make an attempt to do that. All right. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's who we pray to. That is our God, because that's how you reveal yourself to us. But the world doesn't see us. It doesn't see you that way. The world wants to see a happy God. They want to see a God that performs tricks for them, that makes their life easy and well, and as long as things are going good in our estimation, then you're our God. But that's the worldly view, Lord. Lord, open our eyes to what you are doing. Open our eyes to you. May we be in you and you in us, Lord, so that the world will see you the way that you really are, an awesome, loving, fantastic, wonderful, beautiful God. Not the way the world sees it, but the way that you really are. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Before we get to the text, very simple question. Here we have a story of a man with a dead weasel beating another man. Did Jesus die for him?
Not for the weasel.
No.
Okay.
The man with the weasel.
Yes. Did he die for him?
For evil people in this world. People who do dumb, irrational, violent, and hurtful things.
Man, you are going to... You're really putting me on the spot on this one.
Well, we're setting up the hour here.
I know.
We're setting up the whole purpose of Christ's earthly ministry.
Man, because you answered that one... And you say yes, and then people get upset and say, oh, he couldn't have died for him. Look at this guy, he's an evil man. Did Jesus die for bin Laden? How about Adolf Hitler? Yes, he died for them. They rejected him, but he died for them. He died for the entire world. It doesn't say just for a few, everyone. So they have their sins forgiven.
But, so how do you forgive a man that beats you with a dead weasel?
Why are you beating me?
No, but I mean...
Yeah. No, but you asked the question, why are you beating me?
Yeah.
Because I thought you were my ex-girlfriend's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay, so the guy's a little bit deranged, and what was the weasel's name?
I didn't give the weasel. The weasel remains anonymous.
Oh, but it's
a Martin.
Oh, a Martin.
It really wasn't a weasel, it was a Martin.
Oh, that's it.
And Martins are related, not the bird Martin, but the...
I thought he
apparently
meant
the weasel family has a branch called the Martin.
Okay. I thought it was Martin. This isn't a weasel, it's Martin. And my girlfriend's name is...
How do you forgive people that do bad things to you? That's the question.
Mm. All right. Really good question, because we've actually discussed this in depth with the young people that I work with. How do you forgive? And they sit there and I'm supposed to tell them that they're not responsible for all this stuff. I'm supposed to tell them that, well, you're forgiven. I forgive you. It's as if it never happened. No, I tell you what, I do. How do I forgive this guy? I do. I forgive him. I turn it over to God. Now it's up to Lord, you take care of whatever has to happen. I'm no longer going to carry this hate, this vengeance, whatever. I'm not going to hold and carry this any longer. I'm turning it over to you, Lord. And now I'm done with it.
All right, let's begin with the text at verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All right, let's stop there for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Obey. This is a confusing word here. This is why I asked about forgiveness before we got to the text.
Uh-huh.
Because Jesus says, 70 times 7
yep.
to Peter and
absolutely.
Turn the other cheek and all
uh-huh.
these. Can I even obey, or does my sinful nature inhibit me from any kind of obedience? And then is Jesus sort of setting me up for a fall here, because he says, obey me.
Good.
But all you Lutheran pastors tell me we can't obey because we're sinful human beings.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You're smiling at me.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. No, you can't. You can't keep these.
Why does Jesus tell me to do things that he knows I cannot do?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you start out with this first part. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And everybody sits there, okay, let me see. He commanded, love your neighbor as you... what else? Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not envy. Or do not...
lust.
All that stuff. And here's all the things that you're supposed to do. Love the Lord and go to church and all this. And these are the things that he commands. Everybody looks and they say, if you love me, Jesus saying this to you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay. And the first thing the world looks is, I can't keep all those commandments.
Hypocrite.
Yes, exactly. You got it. Because if you're really a believer, if you really love Jesus, you keep all these things. And I tell you what, it knots us up to the point where we can't even get out of bed, because I can't keep these things. I can't keep all of these commandments. And then I break one and, oh, man, what does it do? Oh, I just feel terrible and God can't love me. And also, if you break one of these commandments, somebody's going to see you doing it and you're going to lead them to hell, because they're going to go, oh, Christians, it's okay to cheat on your taxes. And, oh, Roland, ever cheat on your taxes? Oh, come on, confession time. Here's a time that we're all going to... Maybe you inadvertently took a deduction that you shouldn't have done, and are you guilty? And every single person out there better be guilty of something. And then you're leading people astray.
If anything, ask my wife, we don't do enough.
It just knots you up, and you can't do enough. And then it's on
if you are
caught doing something you shouldn't do, that, wow, you're going to lead people into hell. And that's the reason people don't believe. That's the reason they don't come into church, because you are a sinner. And, man, you are leading people astray. And can you, if you love me, therefore, you don't love Jesus enough.
And now I'm in real trouble.
You got it.
Not am I just going to be beaten by a dead weasel, but boy.
Yeah, exactly. Man, and now you get crushed even more, and you're getting, and now you got to keep the commandments. Now you got to go back, and then you got to interpret all the commandments, and you got to go through, and you got to start making sure that I'm actually doing them. And then Jesus on the mount, oh, you don't think you've committed adultery? If you lusted after a woman, sorry, committed adultery. Wow, you get crushed out.
I cannot keep these commands.
You got it. And, well, I tell you what, boy, this is not uplifting. We might as well stop the Bible study now, because we're taking the worldly view. This is what the world says. The world wants to knot you up. It wants to just make you even feeling even worse.
Well, you know who makes an appearance a little bit later in this text for today?
Uh-huh.
The prince of this world.
Exactly. You got it. That's where it's going to. I was hoping we would wait until that came up, but you're absolutely right. It's right here.
No, this is the road sign that says Memphis, 50 miles.
Uh-huh.
You're not there yet, but you know it's coming.
Yeah, we are coming up on it. You got it. But see, that's exactly it. And then the commandments, wow, I can't keep all these. All you have to do is go to the next verse, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And you ask, can I forgive? How do I forgive this weasel, or what was it? Martin,
whatever.
Martin-wielding assaulter.
That was a great story to me.
Yeah. There you go. How can I forgive him if I'm the one being beaten by an old, stinky, dead Martin?
Yeah.
How can I forgive this guy? Well, you misunderstood. I rationally understand it all. I'm sorry. I can't forgive him.
The world says beat him back.
Exactly. You got it. You know,
fair. That's Dirty Harry.
You got it.
Man's got to know his limitations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so now, humanly, I'm justified by the world. The world says you have every right to be mad at this guy. You have every right to not forgive him. I don't know if you remember the story. It was here in St. Louis. It wasn't too long ago. Yeah, a few years back. I was living here, and all that I remember is a young man driving his car. I think he was inebriated, and it was near the zoo. And he went up on to...
It was the crosswalk at the zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the parking lot, yeah.
And he struck a family and killed a little child.
Yes, little boy.
Yeah. Yep. And all that I remember is the world said that those parents were justified. They had every single right to be angry at this young man and to want the book thrown at him and, you know, put in jail and executed, whatever the case is. And the world says they had every right to do that. And what was amazing was when the mom, I don't remember this story exactly, but the mom gets on to television, radio, I don't remember where it was, but basically she said, I forgive him. And how can you do that? Because I know where my child's at. And I also know where this young man's going. I can't walk around hating him. Feeling sorry for him, that's not it. Having compassion for him, yeah. And I have compassion for him. Is the young man going to have to serve, you know, jail time, etc., pay his debt to society? Absolutely. But I'm not going to carry this around for the rest of my life, that I hate a human being. That does not come into this text. It does not say, hate somebody, that there's only a limit, just so much you can do. Let me see. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Helper. Mine is helper. Yours was counselor.
Counselor.
Yeah. To be with you forever, even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I tell you what, that's when we start to understand. It's not your ability to forgive this guy. You can't. It's not your ability to hold to the Ten Commandments or all of the commandments. I'm sorry, you can't. If we go back to the Jewish traditions of, you know, we're going to figure out all these, how many steps can I take on a Sabbath day so I can stay within the, you know, within the laws of man, and it'll notch you up because you're going to break these things left and right, and actually you should be breaking them left and right because you can't hold them.
This is why I think Bible studies are so important, because mm-hmm. if you read this by itself, if you're one of those folks that sort of takes little bits of scripture here and there
mm-hmm.
and tries to construct a reality
yep.
out of it, what do you do when you read this and then maybe you jump ahead and you get to Paul? Oh, mm-hmm. let's say now, everything I want to do, I don't do, and everything I don't want to do, I do. And then you go, now, apostle of the Gentiles? But Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
here's one of the apostles.
Exactly.
Saying,
I can't do it.
So now, how do you make the sense of that as you study scripture?
Oh, man. You're hitting it. This is constantly, you know, I do these Bible studies. By the way, we had just talked this morning, and one young man said, you're going to do this for an hour? And I said, it's not enough time.
No, it's not.
Trust me. Well, we just did over 3 hours last night with young people.
Yeah.
And you get into God's Word, and you start to, it just wells up in you, and after a while, it's not that I can make sense of it, it's that it starts, my eyes begin to be open because it's not me forgiving the person. Once, okay, because it's coming up in just a little bit, but the commandment, what is Jesus' command to us? To obey that one. I take all the law and I bring it into two parts. Love the Father with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, etc. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then you start to understand it's not that I hold animosity for that man that just killed my child. I hold nothing but love. And sometimes love means they have to be punished, etc. But love your neighbor. Love the ones you're with. And after a while, you start to understand when your heart starts to open, it's not because I'm obeying commandments, which I cannot do. It's that, what is it that the Holy Spirit is? Love. What is God? Love. Perfection. Love. Because he loved us so much. You're a pretty rotten, despicable guy, by the way. And Jesus still...
Thank you.
Yeah, and he still died for you.
Thank you.
And why does Paul say chief of sinners, that he is the chief of sinners? Because I know better. And I spoke to Jesus face to face, and my eyeballs almost fell out of my head, but at least scales were on them. And, you know, I'm face to face with Jesus. I spoke to him. I know my heart has been changed. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have all of this, but yet Paul still sins.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Phone lines are open for your questions or comments as we go through the second half of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Let's read a little bit more text here.
Mm-hmm.
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, here we go again, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I, too, will love him and show myself to him. Wow. I guess Joplin wasn't keeping God's commands.
Yeah, you got it. If they had, they wouldn't have got wiped out.
Yeah, well, if you remember the Haitian earthquake, there was that one fellow that got the 700 Club business, and he said, you know what? That earthquake killed those 500,000 Haitians because of Santeria and voodoo and all, and they had chosen to turn their back on God. Why is the French Quarter still standing in New Orleans?
Exactly.
I'm curious.
Yeah, why is Las Vegas still there?
Yeah.
You got it. And wow, okay. I love what you just read. I will not leave you as orphans. And how many times do we feel like we're all alone?
Well, you work with a lot of kids.
Yeah.
That I don't know if you've had a lot of orphans come along, but I know fatherless kids that have been shifted from family to family or foster home to foster home.
Yep.
What's it like to be an orphan? What's it really? I mean, you read scripture, and this, unless you are one, I don't think you really know what this life is like. What is it like to be fatherless, motherless, familyless, shifted around from foster home to foster home?
You go to somebody and you say, I love you, or Jesus loves you, and he's reaching out to you. And they look at you and go, really? I can be loved? Me? No. Somebody else can, but you don't know me. You have no idea how bad I am because the world has turned its back on me. The world has shifted me around, like what you said, you know, shifted me around, shoved me from house to house, and most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, people really don't love me. They're only doing it. You know why a lot of foster families do foster care? Because they really love the children. They want to take care of them. No, it's an income. I didn't know that. Until fairly recently.
Really?
Yes, it's an income. I get paid for doing this. And I get paid fairly decently to take care of these kids every single month. And the kids know it. I'm nothing more than an income to you. You will spend the minimal you have to just to make sure I survive so you can be socking some money away for yourself. And that's what a lot of them. Now, somebody will call me. Somebody will call in and say, that's not everybody. And you're absolutely right. There's wonderful people out there. I'm talking about the ones that are in what you talk about that are being shifted around and really no one loves them. And I tell you what, you talk about the most hollow feeling ever. You have no idea what it actually feels like to actually have the entire world turn their back on you. You are worthless, and they know it. No one cares. That's the orphan. I will not leave you as orphans, because I tell you what, we've talked about it in our little group. You know what the greatest punishment, either in a POW camp or in prison, you know what the worst punishment is? Isolation. Be put in isolation, you'll do anything not to go back. Anything. To be totally abandoned, there's no way. Let's see. What does Jesus cry out? My God, why have you forsaken me? That has got to be the Father turning his back on the Son because he had to. Ooh, I could not imagine that agony. And here it is. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Promise. So you mentioned about some of these kids. The greatest thing that when we start to work with these kids, the greatest thing is they test you. Do you really mean this stuff? And I'll tell you what, Roland, you will fail. You will fail if you try and do it on your own. You will fail because I'm going to fail you. I'm not going to be there when you need me. I'm going to be in a meeting when you need to call me. All these things. And if you try to do it on your own, you fail. But I tell you what, here's the thing. The biggest part, this is what we have to be concentrating on. It's not me. It's God working through me to come to you. And I'm going to show you his love, which will never fail you, ever. And he will never go away. He is going to be there forever because he promises. Once I see his promise, done deal. I will not leave you as orphans. And some of these kids have felt abandoned all their life. I just met a young person just recently. We talked about this person said, wow, I've been looking for this group that we do. I've been looking for this all my life. And I said, no, actually, God's been calling you. He found you.
I think that would be a unique Lutheran distinction in theology. Mm-hmm. Because you hear all the time that people are out looking for God.
Yeah, yeah. Good. But see, for them, their view is, I'm searching for him. The reality is, he's calling you. Why are you looking for him? You're not looking for him. He is calling you, and you are hearing his voice. That becomes so much more comforting that as I see that I'm searching for him, it's him calling me, and I can hear the subtle whispers. I'm looking for something that the world cannot explain to me. Just something that is so unexplainable. But yet he's calling me, and he's going to, and he loves me, and that becomes the comfort. I will not leave you. I will come to you.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit earlier, Lazarus is raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
What does Jesus say? Lazarus, come forth.
Mm-hmm.
Was Lazarus looking for Jesus? Was the dead man looking around?
Come on, Jesus.
We're Lazarus. We're born dead in our trespasses and sins. You can't go looking for God.
No.
He has to call you out.
Yes. And then it becomes even more and more comforting for the people that are saying they're searching. Is him searching for you? I will come to you.
And that makes me acceptable to him. Why would he? Why? We're going to the break here real quick. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This is the Bible Study on KFUO Radio. Mm-hmm. I'm Roland Lettner. Our guest pastor is Pastor Randy Wilkin from the Acts 1-8 Mission Society. Why would he come looking for me?
Yeah.
You know, there's Mother Teresa out, there's Randy Wilkin out there. There's presidents of synods out there. Why me? We'll talk about that when we get back on the Bible Study. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I've heard business people complain that nonprofits don't respond in timely ways to needs and opportunities. I believe that's true. Concordia Seminary strives to instill responsiveness in our graduates. Responsiveness to the needs of congregations and responsiveness to the needs of our communities and world. Responsiveness is a seminary core value, and it's a Great Commission value.
Perhaps you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice, or maybe it's difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning. Either way, you'll benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO Radio. Our first service begins at 8 o'clock and comes from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois, where Reverend Stephen Tice is pastor. Our late service begins at 10:30 and originates at Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights, where Reverend Mark Femmel is pastor. Join us every Sunday morning for the message of salvation in Jesus Christ.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? For the first time this spring, I have been reading through the books that made it into the Catholic Bible but were not included in the Protestant Bible. The final book of the Apocrypha is titled Fourth Maccabees. In this book, we hear the story of a Jewish martyr named Eleazar and of his Syrian king Antiochus. Antiochus prepared a pork dinner, asking the old priests to taste it. The priest adamantly refused, despite threats that such refusal would lead to torture and death. Defiantly, Eleazar proclaims, "You, O king, shall not defile the honorable mouth of my old age, nor my long life lived lawfully. My ancestors will receive me as pure, as one who does not fear your violence even to death. You may tyrannize the ungodly, but you shall not dominate my religious principles either by words or through deeds." Writing the Bible's final chapters over two centuries later, St. John the Divine has this to say about the defeat of such a tyrant he calls the Great Harlot. "After this, I heard what seemed like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, and for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute, who has corrupted the earth with her immorality, and has avenged on her the blood of his servants.'" You know, I could just imagine Eleazar among the heavenly hosts singing this great victory song at the last day. Lord, as the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh whisper in our ears constantly to compromise our faith and our lives, teach us from the testimony of those who have been martyred for the faith that their blood will conquer. Then help us to know that their blood triumphs because the blood of Jesus has prevailed for them and for us. For we pray in the name of our King Jesus, who has won the victory for us that we could never hope to win for ourselves. Amen.
God helps those who help themselves. What Bible verse is that? Would you be surprised that it is found nowhere in the Bible? On the next Law and Gospel, we will examine what one TV program refers to as sayings that are not in the Bible. However, they are not correct, because it all depends on where you look in the Bible.
Weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
Good morning and welcome back. This is the Bible Study on KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. It's always a joy to be with you, spending some time in God's Word. Our guest pastor this morning, a friend of mine. I think it's fair to call you a friend of mine. We've spent many hour sharing a cup of coffee over at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Wednesday mornings, we did a little Bible study together with some friends
that would
get together. You've introduced me to some marvelous people like the two young ladies that came the other day, Pastor Randy Wilkin from Acts 1-8 Mission Society. It was such a treat.
Oh, yeah.
To have those two young ladies on Studio A singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you for bringing them.
Oh, we're going to do it again.
You are?
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about it.
Ah.
Before they go back, we got to do it again.
Oh, yeah. That Timba Girls. And we all know, you know, Aaron Bodie sang the Timba Girls, and that was a fundraiser for the Timba School. I think those CDs are still available.
Oh, yes. We're going to be putting them out again very, very soon. So, yeah, and that was Cincy and Portia.
Yeah.
And wonderful young ladies. And the young man that you also got to meet.
Yeah.
Mr. Olin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
encourage him to consider the ministry.
Well, you're not the first one that mentioned that, and you haven't been the last. And it's confirmation for this young man that it's not just the, you know, the deep, rich voice that he has. It's actually what comes out of it. But the message that comes out, and he's got a, he has a very unique, awesome style. And there's a bunch of the other young people that you will meet as we go along, and they're going to bring their style to over here with you, and you will meet all of them.
Wow, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and everybody else. So.
Now let's get back to our text here, just real quick. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Phones are open for your questions or comments. We're in the second half of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we got to the point where I said, why me? We've talked about these kids that you work with, even some of the adults that you work with. It's a question that even people in the faith ask. Yeah, not just when your car gets hit, and you know, why me? You know, but why would Jesus die? See, you think you know me, don't you? But why me?
Yeah. Exactly.
You think a lot of people ask that of themselves?
Yes, constantly.
Even people who I might look at and think are great in the faith.
Yep, absolutely. And I tell you what, if they're not asking it, then what is their faith? Because I tell you what, you look, all right, we just talked about it for 5 days, or no, for about a week now. Yes, it's actually been over a week, because today is Thursday, is it not? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It was 1 week. We looked at the 1 week. What has happened this week? And I'm telling you what, Roland, more happened in this week than most people have happened in a month. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about, you know, being with people, uplifting, the Bible studies that we go through. It has been since last Wednesday until this last Wednesday night, I sat there and thought it had to have been about a month. And then we start realizing all the things that we had done happened within a span of a week. And it's like each day is like 4 or 5 days, not in the bad sense, but in the good sense that, you know, we had people coming to the Rock, a servant project this weekend, a servant group from Jefferson City, and they basically wrote back and said, thank you for the life-changing experience. Lutherans don't talk experience very often. So, but, you know, here it is, life-changing experience. We went down to old Mississippi because a young man's going to school down there. We spent just one night there. We went on a Thursday. We stayed Thursday night, Friday morning, got up, came back, you know, back to the Rock for the servant group to come. One night there, and I'm telling you what, it was as if we were there for a week. We were in God's Word from 6 o'clock until 12:30 in the morning. You feel like the scriptures. You feel like Paul, who preached for so long on his way to Jerusalem that the young man fell out of the window. We were lucky. We were in the basement of the parsonage. We weren't on the third floor.
I've been in a few sermons like that.
Yes, exactly. But here it is, 6.5 hours in God's Word together and fellowship, and it seemed like an hour. And then you start to ask, Lord, why do you let me, I am the most incompetent person when it comes to any of this stuff. Why me, Lord? Why do you use me? And then you start to realize it's not, wow, you're privileged. I like you, Roland. I choose you. No, it's more of because I will use the simple things of this world to humble the mighty. And then you start to realize he's using the least of the least. Not for our pleasure that he's humbling somebody else, but that's who he chooses to work through. Then you start to come to the realization, it's not like, wow, thank you, or Lord, you really saw something good in me. No, you see nothing but miserableness in me, and yet you choose to use me. wow, and it worked through me. And then you allow me, not like I'm doing something great for the Lord, you allow me to see miracles. You allow me to see, oh, hold on, it says right here, it says in 14 verse 12, I know this isn't ours, but too bad, I'm going back to it. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whoa, that's when it's the scriptures are just opening up, and this is becoming part of your life, he says. You're going to do greater things. Why? Because you're so great? No, because I'm going to the Father. This is my promise. And when he lets you see these things, it's the world will sit here rolling, and they'll constantly, the world will look at you and go, oh, you're just so full of it. Oh, you're just, you just think too much of yourself. And no, that's it. You just wonder, Lord, why are you doing this? Why me? And then he just keeps humbling you, and he says, no, it's not you. I'm working through you.
Take a look at verse 18, Pastor. Jan's on the line. Here, hey, good morning, Jan. You're first up on the Bible study with Pastor Wilkin.
Pastor Wilkin, thanks. And hi, Roland.
Good morning.
I have a comment and something you said earlier, Roland, and I think it's really relevant with all the storms and whatnot we have going on. My comments based on Genesis 3:17 and Romans 8:19-21, where God says to Adam, because you've listened to the voice of your wife, cursed is the ground because of you. So, and then Romans 8 talks about the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility. So, because of our sin, the universe is subjected to frustration and this yearning and churning and turmoil. So, I think that it's not a specific judgment on whoever is undergoing these trials. I think it's an objective judgment on mankind and his sin. That was a really long comment. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But I am looking at John 14, and I think it was verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
I will not leave you as orphans. Am I reading too much into it to think we are orphans or we have been orphans, and when we become sons and daughters of God, we finally have a father?
Oh, that's that great adoption metaphor you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly, okay, good. Is it that we are orphans? No. Is it that the world, basically, without Christ, you are orphans, you're alone, you're done, and you're absolutely right, and it's not us. When we choose, when we decide, no, it's that when we do become, when he chooses us, which he has, and he comes to us, and we, it's so hard to believe, why me, you know, dirty, despicable person, and he chooses us. Wow, the joy. Let me see. We baptized somebody this Saturday, and the verse, you know, the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one. Oh, yes, and that becomes our joy. And instead of the wallowing in, oh, woe is us, we're orphans, no, it's now, honestly, God chose me. I should be an orphan. I should be out there all on my own. And it's that joy that just lifts us up to realize this: God loves you so much. He chose you specifically, even though he didn't have to, he shouldn't have. We're pretty despicable. Adam, you listen to your wife, therefore the world is cursed. All that, all the way through. Job, all the terrible things that happen. And then we realize, no, he's with us. He's not leaving us.
Yeah, and, my husband and I lost our first son. It's been 20 years coming up. And I think about my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, they just enfolded us. But the condolence that meant the most to me was an older woman in our congregation, and she came up to me and she said, "I don't know what you're experiencing, but I love you, and you know, my heart is open to you." And it just, I don't want to minimize suffering. I want the person that I'm coming alongside to understand, no, I don't empathize with you. I haven't experienced that. That does not minimize my heart filled with the Holy Spirit and motivated to reach out to you in the name of Christ. And thank you so much, Pastor, for your work, and I pray for you and your mission, and I'm really enjoying this study.
well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate the call. Let's jump ahead. I know you want to say something, but Paul has been waiting patiently.
Go ahead.
Paul, good morning. You're on with Pastor Wilkin.
Good morning, Jim. And Roland, I just wanted to comment on something you mentioned earlier. You had said, talking about men seeking God or sinners seeking God, and then saying, well, actually, it's God that seeks men. And then you said, well, I think that's a distinctly Lutheran position. And I was just going to comment to you, don't forget your Reformed Calvinist brothers. Certainly in agreement with you on that. And we take seriously Paul when he clearly says that no one seeks after God. And, of course, unfortunately, some evangelicals choose to ignore that, and they trust their senses, and they see that man is very religious, and he seeks after religion for fellowship or a sense of wanting to belong to a community or to feel pious or whatever the sense may be. But as my pastor often says, that a sinner no more looks for God, or sinners no more seek after God than a criminal looks for a policeman. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of truth in that. And, you know, it's obviously Christ who comes to us, and as Luther would say, with his gifts of life, forgiveness, and salvation. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Absolutely. Paul, and I did not mean that to the exclusion of the brethren. Thank you. appreciate it. It's always good because the listeners are always good to remind us that a number of the things that we believe, teach, and confess as Lutherans are shared with others as well.
Absolutely. Know. And that's what I love. All right. Throughout the scripture, because what he said, you know, this is what we believe also. Well, that's what the scriptures cry out for. And as soon as we get to the point of what you said, you know, how do I make sense of this? You know, how do I keep the commandments, etc.? You realize I can't, but I'm going to keep trying, and then you can't. And I have a young man that I've been talking to who keeps, you know, who asks, you know, how do I do these things? And I keep telling him, you can't. The truth is, God will. You humble yourself. Then you start doing what he tells you to do. Satan says, become perfect because God can't love you.
If you're not, yeah.
Yeah, that's the accuser. You know, you got to become perfect. Well, we all know you can't do it. Christ did it, so we're taking our eyes off of Christ.
Now, we've got quite a bit of text
here. Go for it.
Okay,
go for it, brother.
Thou shalt finish the text.
Yes.
That is our commandment
that
we follow here. I'm going to go through this quickly, and then we'll wrap up.
I got my notes.
Now,
go.
As if things weren't confusing, here comes another Judas.
I know.
Did you know there were two?
I know. Yes.
Well, you should have. You went to seminary.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But isn't it wild?
Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world?" Mm-hmm. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him." This is getting very repetitive here.
The same thing.
The answer is always the same, and they still don't get it. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And we have a little bit more to go, but we'll finish that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I think about all the Old Testament prophets, you know, walking the streets and all those strange things they had to do as prophets of God. And then all the false prophets who would wander those same streets saying, shalom, shalom, but there is no peace. So when he says, you know, peace I leave with you, these men of Torah, these men of, you know, the teaching of Moses, would know the difference between peace of the true prophet and the peace offered by the false prophets.
Yeah, not peace I leave with you.
Not pieces, peace.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Right. Did I not say it right?
No, no, you said it right. I just... we're on the radio. I want, you know, P-E-A-C-E, peace, as in...
Peace.
Comfort.
Yes, exactly. The peace that transcends all understanding. The world cannot understand it because they're looking for a worldly peace. Well, there's peace on earth and no wars, etc.
And that's
we're
what I meant
happy.
By peace is multiple types of peace. Peace of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
that
okay.
sort of thing. There,
good.
There is one.
There's only one. And that's the thing. When, all right, if you truly love me, let me see, where was it? If anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, etc. And we see that over and over, and it sounds like a command. You must love, and if you start to love, then all these things are going to happen. And the truth is, no, if you start following what Jesus teaches, this is what I was mentioning before. You want to know Jesus? You want to get closer to him? You want to see Jesus face to face? Then I tell you what, do what he commands, and nowhere does he command us to go out and to become perfect. Oh, be perfect as I am perfect. How do you do it?
Right.
And you start to realize.
Got to read the fine print.
Yeah, exactly. But then you start to realize, here it is. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? Sacrificially. I came to serve, not to be served. And I tell you what, that is missing in all of Christendom right now. We want to be served. I want a God that makes me happy. I want a God that takes care of all my troubles. I want a God that makes sure that I have a job. I want a God that's going to, here's all my criteria. I want a God that serves me. And the truth is, he says, go out and be a servant. I love what the, I don't remember what her name was, Jan?
Jan.
Called, yes.
Jan from
and
Atlanta,
said the
yeah.
greatest comfort was when somebody said, you know, I don't understand. I don't know what you're going through, but I tell you what, I bring this love to you. That is it, the comfort. All it is, just go out and love somebody that's fallen through the cracks. They may have a smile on their face. They may be wonderful. They may know all of the scriptures. They may have them all memorized. And the scripture says, even the demons know who I am and they shudder. You can't just know with head knowledge what these scriptures say. But if you do hear it and it does, God works in you, then you go out and you no longer are concerned about your job, even though you have to have a job, etc. You're no longer worried about it because I tell you what, I have something the Lord has given me to do, which is to go out and love sacrificially. I'm going to sacrifice my desires. I'm going to sacrifice what I want for the good of someone else. Go ahead.
Well, before we get to the last portion of the text here, when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit coming and making known and teaching, wow, welcome to the postmodern world. Welcome to what some are calling the post-church world. Welcome to a world where a number of churches sort of want to fix Jesus, you know, to make him, to sort of shave off the rough edges and make him smooth and attractive and that sort of thing. When we are given the Holy Spirit, does he say anything new, or does he simply clarify what's already been said?
That's it. It's the clarification, brother. Because nothing new. Ecclesiastes.
There we go.
We're just studying it with a bunch of young people. Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new. Every single thing, nothing is new that is here. Everything has been named. And you're absolutely right. And I love where you're going, because that's exactly where I wanted to go. The Holy Spirit, and everybody thinks if I have the Holy Spirit, I can tell you when the end of the world is coming, because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to me, and you are a false prophet, because it says,
I have received a word from...
Yes,
we've all
exactly.
seen it on television. Yeah.
Yes. And I want to be able to tell when an earthquake is coming. I want to be able to tell when, you know, when a tornado is coming. I want to be able to tell when the end of the world is coming. And people think that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, prophecy. And prophecy is this. It's telling the truth. Here it is. This is what God has revealed to me. Nothing new, but here is what Christ did. Then it starts to well up in you. Yes. Do you realize when the Holy Spirit is with you? Is it only when you're ecstatic and you got your arms up in the air and it's in church and everybody's all, you know, in a lather and, wow, we're speaking in tongues, etc.?
The Holy Spirit light is lit. Please return your seats to the upright position. No, you can't.
Right. But see, that's what the world has said. That's the Holy Spirit. It has to be manifested, and it's easy to manifest. I could speak in tongues right now. I could, you know, fall on the floor. Well, the thing is, radio
trust me,
audience
I'd be calling somebody.
No, yes, exactly. But see, I can manifest that. You cannot manifest love. You cannot manifest the love of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father, because you'd have to sacrifice every single thing in you for someone else. And who is going to do that? And they don't. And here it is. I love this passage. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance, into your memory, all that I have said to you." And have you ever sat there with somebody, just talking with them, thinking, I need to comfort them, and what pops into your head? All of a sudden, there's a scriptural passage, not necessarily chapter and verse, but just the essence of this Christ loving you. And you know, that doesn't come from you. That's the Holy Spirit.
Now, we've got about 2 minutes and some text to finish, and then I'll let you finish your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Picking up at verse 28. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. See, I told you it was coming.
Yeah, at the end.
He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and I do, and that I do exactly what the Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
Yes, I love this. As well, hey, it's scripture. Come on, this is good stuff.
It is.
But you love how it just gets greater and greater, and the impact and the love and the Holy Spirit. And this is how you're going to know that you have the Holy Spirit. And now I have told you this before it takes place. I love that, because Jesus and, you know, the Father and the Holy Spirit have been telling us since the beginning, this is what's going to happen. Peter, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to deny me 3 times. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. And when he finally did, and he looks at Jesus, he's convicted. Wow, I told you before it happens, so you will know. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Here it is, all of this. The end of the world is coming. Why doesn't he tell us when it is? Because that's not the important part. Well, it is going to end, but it's not the important part. The important part is while you are here. I'm going to tell you all this stuff. And the other is at the end. but let me see. The rule of the world is coming. The prince of this world, he's coming, and he is here. You want to deal with him? Go right ahead. You want to face him? You want to say, oh, we got a demon. We got to take care of, you know, Satan. Why are you worshiping him? Stop. He's only a small portion. That's the truth. Here is the truth. Let me see. Let me see. The Father has commanded me so that the world may know that I love the Father. I love you. We go back to the whole thing. Here's the end, which is, are we pretty close, Roland?
Yep.
Because I don't want to give it away too soon.
20 seconds.
Okay. Here is the end. Now, my translation says, rise, let us go from here. That's it. Here you have the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Here you have the love. And Jesus says, don't sit now. Now that you know it, get up.
Let us go from here.
You got it.
Man, Pastor Randy Wilkin, Acts 1-8 Mission Society, thanks so much.
You betcha. Thank you.
I'm Roland Lettner. This has been the Bible Study. You can hear it again tonight on the replay at 6:05. Up next, Paul Clayton with Ask the Pastor. His guest, Nathan Metter. You'll enjoy it. Stick around.
We thank you for listening to the Bible Study on KFUO Radio. underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor, coming up next, Hour 2 of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio.